We're here with Dana Schultz. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. She is the Deputy Director of the NTSB, that's the National Transportation Safety Board, in the Office of Aviation Safety. We sure have been talking about aviation safety a lot this week.
Obviously, fortunately, it's been pretty safe to be here.
Well, not this
great.
Morning.
We like to see that.
Except for a couple unscheduled flights earlier in the week.
Yep, that's for sure. It's been very interesting listening to what the NTSB has to say about general aviation safety, and especially seeing as how they're focusing on the experimental/amateur-built aircraft. I'm assuming that the NTSB is going to continue to look at this particular problem or issue.
Right. So it's a growing area of the aviation sector within general aviation. And, you know, we're very keen on one of our biggest jobs is to investigate accidents and to identify concerns, safety areas for improvement, and share lessons learned with the piloting community, with everybody in the community, the air traffic controllers, mechanics, the FAA. So, yes, we want to continue to look at that. We want to follow up and help the industry understand what the risks can be and be as safe as they can while they're having a great time, because it is a great opportunity to have fun, to build your own aircraft.
Well, not only just build your own aircraft, but fly it as well. The NTSB does make recommendations to the FAA regarding safety issues, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Do they listen?
That's exactly the question. Well, does the FAA usually listen?
Well, I think we have a good dialogue, good collaboration with the FAA. Historically, we've seen them adopt approximately 80% of our safety recommendations. We always are trying to improve that through continual dialogue, outreach to the aviation community, and that's why we're here. We have a booth set up in the Federal Pavilion, and I'd like to really encourage everybody that's attending AirVenture today to visit our booth. We are a resource for everyone in the general aviation community to fly safer, and part of that is sharing with folks our recommendations to the FAA. But sometimes the community doesn't have to wait necessarily for the FAA to do something. They can do some things on their own too.
That was the next thing I was going to ask, this list of recommendations. Anybody who is a pilot out there with an airplane, they can look at these recommendations and they can adopt the ones that they think apply to them, correct?
Absolutely. There's a lot of opportunities to do that. I think just picking up a copy of the experimental amateur-built aircraft safety study that we just completed this year. Folks had an opportunity this week to sit in on some forums we conducted to talk about the findings from the study and the recommendations. And many of those recommendations are actionable by the pilots themselves, the folks in the community. Things like establishing a flight test plan when you're ready to check out your new aircraft and sticking with it. And also going and looking at resources. The EAA has some resources for training on conducting flight testing. In fact, this week, folks had an opportunity to sit in on some forums that were conducted by the EAA to talk about lessons learned from flight testing from some experts in the industry.
Well, I've been looking at the VANS website, and I was dreaming about this beautiful RV-7A that I'd like to put together. And the cost on putting one of these airplanes together, realistically. Now, I don't want to put anybody off, but the VANS is a nice airplane, but you're going to shell out a fair chunk of change on this thing. I mean, my ultimate airplane is going to cost me six figures. Wouldn't it just make sense to do a regimented quality flight test program with maybe even bringing in an experienced test pilot for the first, say, 5-10 hours of the aircraft's life?
Well, certainly that is an approach that any pilot, yourself included, who chooses to build one of these aircraft can take. We have, in our study, we have looked very specifically at the types of issues that pilots encounter during test flights where there have been accidents, and unfortunately some of those being fatal. So the message is to get out and get training on how to do that. You could do it yourself, but you can certainly go out and seek experts in the field who can help you do it more effectively in conjunction with them. So we're one of those resources, and I think there are some other resources out there that you could tap, Dave.
You know, the one part of this survey that concerns me, and I don't really know of any quantifiable way to measure this, is pilot ego. You know, there are a lot of pilots out there that have a lot of bluster, and they think, I built this airplane, I can fly this airplane. And they've never stepped into this thing in their life outside of when they built it. Isn't that a recipe for disaster?
Well, you know, safety is all about being prepared and understanding the hazards that you're going to encounter and managing those hazards to minimize the risk. So, yes, I think one of that is education, and part of education is being humble in the sense that you recognize you do have areas you need to learn about. So I think everybody should be confident in their capabilities, but not so confident that you don't recognize that you need to go out and educate yourself. Learn those lessons that others have learned the hard way. Unfortunately, last year, as we point out in our study, we investigated, I think, maybe over 1,466 accidents. You know, there were 263 of those were fatal accidents, and then I think about 450 people were killed in those accidents. Now, they weren't all experimental amateur-built aircraft, but a good percentage of them were. And what would be really, I think, the not the best way to approach the aviation safety facet is to not take advantage of those lessons learned. You know, don't become the next accident that, you know, happened already 2 years ago. You need to learn from what other people's mistakes have made, and that's really truly wisdom. So, yeah, I think you have to recognize that you don't know everything, and go out and tap those resources. We're certainly one of those resources. We have lots of information for
you. It sounds like you need to publish the book. Lessons learned.
Yes, well,
wisdom from the NTSB accident investigations.
That's not a bad thought.
We have, I like that thought. We have a lot of that, maybe not in one bound book, but we have a lot of that information available on our website. You know, a lot of pilots and mechanics and air traffic controllers in all facets of aviation, not just general aviation, all the way up to commercial, may not be aware. We have a broad spectrum of products to educate the public on lessons learned. Probably the most extensive product is our, what we call our Blue Cover reports, which are very in-depth accident investigation reports that you might expect to see if a commercial air carrier accident occurs. And those contain very detailed factual data, analysis, findings, recommendations. But that's not our only product. We have smaller accident briefs that we issue on many of our general aviation accident investigations that provide a probable cause. We also have many recommendation letters that are standalone letters that you can get right on our website to share with you some of the mistakes and some of the lessons learned might be a better way to look at that. You know, we're not here to apportion blame to anyone. We're here to identify what happened.
She used a big word.
What went wrong? How it went wrong, and, you know, to provide some actionable fixes out there. But and then lastly, we also have products out there called safety alerts. You all might be aware of one we issued most recently on the NEXRAD weather radar systems that some pilots will see. They'll see a timestamp on the screen and might inadvertently believe that time reflects the actual weather right now, the weather conditions that they're experiencing right then and there, when in fact that's not the case. That time stamp relates to when the mosaic image that was the basis of the weather was created.
Now that's interesting, because I wouldn't think you guys would get involved in investigating the avionics systems. I think of more airframes and incidents.
We look at any system on board an aircraft that could affect safety.
Okay.
So, and that would also include even some of the equipment that pilots are able to now bring on board with them and take back home with them. They're not actually installed in the aircraft.
I have a question. When I'm in a single engine airplane, do I have to turn off all my portable electronic devices for takeoff?
That's a question for the FAA, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was going to say, when you do an accident investigation, how much talking to the family and friends of, say, the victim does the NTSB do?
Well, we certainly have, we run the gamut there in terms of the types of formality to that, but we're always talking to the family in the sense that on the general aviation accidents, many times the pilot is the owner of the aircraft, and if that pilot is deceased, you know, we are not the organization that notifies the family, but we are going to keep the family up to date on our, you know, as the investigation proceeds.
Well, do you interview the family to try and get an idea of the pilot's condition/mindset on the particular day?
Sure. We may interview what we would call next of kin to understand maybe a little bit about the maybe the last 72 hours that they're aware of prior to the accident to understand the pilot's physical condition, a little bit about even training, if there's not an extensive amount of records available to do that. So absolutely, we're going to try to tap that information to understand what factors may have influenced any aspect of the accident.
I've done investigative work on small scale. We're talking electronic parts that have failed. But taking a pile of wreckage and trying to figure out why it did this, that's an incredible skill. How do you guys do that? I mean, how do you figure out a root cause?
Well, we certainly have a very large group of specialists who have that technical skill and capability and many years of experience at NTSB to be able to do that forensic investigative work. We've got maybe about 110 investigators in the Office of Aviation Safety that span the general aviation community all the way up through the air carrier side. And those are the skill sets that they have. They can get on scene very quickly. They can look at wreckage, at impact scars. They can look at the way that the metal has bent. They can look at fracture surfaces, and they can very quickly determine whether a structure was overloaded, whether there may have been pre-existing damage to it. And that capability goes all the way through to what you just mentioned, Dave, electronic components. We have in our research and engineering office with our lab, we have extensive expertise on doing chip level recovery and detection. We can actually download non-volatile memory off those chips today, believe it or not, that tell us a lot about what the aircraft may have been doing just moments before the accident. And I think earlier this week, some folks had an opportunity to sit in on a forum with one of those experts we have, Mr. Doug Brazy, who talked about chip level extraction capabilities of the NTSB. So we're very proud of that capability, and we always want to continue to grow and learn in that aspect too.
That it has given you the ability to almost have a black box on board an aircraft that really wouldn't.
That's right. There's in today's technology, there's a lot of information that's available, and to make sure that we really do a comprehensive, objective investigation to find out what went wrong, we really want to search out all those data sources. We don't want to guess. We don't want to leave any rocks unturned, because if we do, then we might not have the ability to find all the deficiencies and prevent accidents in the future. So.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Dana.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you taking the time to let me talk.
Oh, no, we love letting people talk.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here.
Makes our job easy.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Dana Schultz from the National Transportation Safety Board. She is the Deputy Director of the Office of Aviation Safety. I'm Fast Eddie.
I'm Digital Dave.
And this is EAA Radio.